Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, I've had this guy's business card sitting on my desk ever since I was in Great Falls almost 2 months ago. I've had his business card sitting on my desk, and I was like, I got to get him back on the show. You guys, I'm sure, can all appreciate how chaotic a statewide radio show can be. It's chaotic even when we're here in the studio because you never know what we're going to talk about. We're taking phone calls. We got people blowing up the phone lines. We're trying to cover every topic under the sun. And then you got, you know, the breaks to roll on top of that. You're getting emails coming in. Well, now do the show on the road where now I've got to set up this remote equipment. I've got to make sure I've got a connection. I've got to, okay, which guests are coming on the show? Anyway, we're in Great Falls. We were there for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association's annual meeting, and we had a great lineup of guests. And so we're just whipping through the hour. It's flying by. And with like 2 minutes to go, I see Jerry like four tables away, and I was like, we wanted to get Jerry on this show. All right, well, let's sneak him on here real fast. So literally with like 60 seconds to go in the show, Jerry Lim steps up to the microphone, and it was such an incredible 60 seconds. And I was like, man, Jerry, we got to get you back on the show one of these days because we ran out of time while we were live in Great Falls at the Big Mecca annual meeting. Anyway, Jerry Lim on the phone lines with us from Anaconda. Jerry, thanks for calling in this morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Well, thank you, Aaron, and same to you guys and everybody listening. It's great to be back with you, and it's what a wonderful time of the year to be thankful for.
Yeah, well, I know we've got a quick break here in about a minute or so, and then we'll get a chance to chat with you more after that. But the line that you said in that quick 60 seconds was, hey, people, if you see something, do something. Because we've all heard the phrase, if you see something, say something. But I loved how you emphasized, if you see something, do something. Do something about it.
Exactly right, yeah. And it's an interesting thing. I think everybody wants to help, but a lot of times what happens is we just don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to handle it. I think if you just relax and go back to what you're trained with, and, you know, Montana people are raised with that idea of, you know, helping others. I think that's why we live here. And I think if a person just relaxes and tries to help and do something more than just the normal bystander.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I know there's one story of a lineman who did just that. You know, maybe he wasn't trained in suicide prevention, or he wasn't trained in what to do in this particular scenario, but he saw a potentially very bad situation happening, and he did something. He didn't just say something. He didn't just call it in and say, hey, we got a guy about to jump off a bridge here. He did something about it. He turned his lights on, blocked traffic, and then helped so that this man didn't take his own life. And that was one of the safety award recipients for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association that was announced at their last annual meeting. The other safety award recipient is, of course, Jerry Lim himself, who's with us right now, right here on Montana Talks. We're going to hear a little bit more about his story and much more with Jerry Lim from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association joining us from Anaconda right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, great to have Jerry Lim. Jerry Lim is actually the safety loss instructor for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. So he actually travels all across the state of Montana, holding these, safety, briefings and training sessions. And so, just a very thoughtful guy with some great information. But he's also was one of the safety awards recipient this year at the Mecca annual meeting. And it wasn't for just the day-to-day work that he does for the co-ops doing these safety training sessions across the state. It was July 31st? It was between Dell and Lima, Montana. And, I guess describe the scene that you had to respond to, Jerry.
And it was interesting. It was a beautiful day, and I saw ahead of me on the what would be the east side of the highway, I thought it was smoke to begin with. But as I was driving highway speed, all of a sudden I'm on it, and I realized it was a single truck rollover, and the smoke was actually the dust that he caused up, and it was just settling. The truck was just coming out of that roll. And so it was halfway in the northbound lane, what would be the driver, the passing side. And so all of a sudden we had an issue in a very busy time of the year on I-15.
Yeah, well, and, you know, golly, think of that stretch of highway there. I mean, man, Dell and Lima, especially coming up in the winter months, that can be some harsh weather, too, especially coming up in the winter months. So you end up responding to this big multi-vehicle accident, and I know the Montana Electric Cooperatives ended up doing a big, they featured this at their annual meeting. What was so unique about that accident in particular? What did it, like, I guess, what have you learned through your years of being a safety instructor that helped kick into gear that day, and sure. what others might apply from your scenario?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm fortunate to grow up in a small town, born and raised in Anaconda, and of course, my father was very involved in, you know, medical and search and rescue and all the stuff because it was a volunteer community. And so this is not, unfortunately, my first and only car wreck, but it's been the first one for a while. I've gotten out of the volunteer side because, like you said, I travel. So all of a sudden we have a single car rollover, and the very first thing we end up with is we have a patient that's getting out of the vehicle, partially extricated. We've got two others, one stuck in the vehicle itself, and then we have oncoming traffic. And I tell everybody, and it's really probably the best gift I can ever been given myself, and it's the one I give everybody else, is when you're expected to do something that's out of the norm or is going to be stressful, whether it's a scenario like I was involved in, the gentleman from Yellowstone Valley, his scenario, or anybody just day to day, you got to take a second, you got to breathe. You literally breathe in your nose and out your mouth. Take a second. I know that seems like a lot of time when time is of the essence, but you have all of your life to panic. You really only have a few minutes to get it right. And, man, if you get it wrong in something like that, things can just go bad to worse. And I've always said to everybody, two victims don't make a rescue. You know, if somebody got out of that vehicle and just stepped out in front of a car coming on board, it can go really, really bad really, really quick, Aaron. So just having that ability to just think for a minute, and then kind of plan what I know already and what the training kicked in and kind of help respond to those and just assess the need that someone has and respond to that need and the events that are going on around you.
I was going to say, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, people want to be helpful, but they may not know how to be helpful. But like you say, just sometimes just assessing the situation can be helpful. You know, if you see something, don't just say something about it, do something about it. Assessing the situation is so important. And, you know, it also, you talking about just slowing down and focusing on your breathing. I mean, anybody who likes to do, you know, shooting out on the gun range, you know, that's so important. You know, hunting season is just, you're going to be really excited when you see that deer or that elk. And you got to slow your breathing and calm down your nerves. Same thing applies in you know, what might be an emergency situation. You've got to, you know, that hunting instinct has to kind of kick in too.
Sure, you bet. And, you know, the other thing, people have a lot of knowledge. You know, we kind of give each other a bad time about the televisions we watch. It's absolutely amazing about the information people will gather and will know. But if you don't take time to really literally infuse oxygen to the brain, you're firing on autopilot, and that doesn't help you make rash decisions, good decisions in a quick response period. And when you're under pressure, the world can get really out of hand real quick. So I'm a big believer in that. Take that breath, look, take a second or two, and then step in. Do the things you know. Half the time, people don't know what they need to do for a first aid emergency, but they do need to know that they can call 911. There probably will be somebody or maybe somebody that can help them, direct them. I had the pleasure of working with some people that showed up at that scene. As we've already talked about, I-15 is very, very busy. So I was blessed with people that show up and wanted to help. And having had a little bit of experience myself, I was able to direct them and help them. We got traffic shut down. We were able to treat people in positions so we didn't augment their injuries. If you just take time to look at what you have available and then rely on yourself and what you know, That's, to me, such a big thing.
Yeah, and that can apply to any emergency situation, a family emergency at the house, car accidents, and you name it. The other phrase that comes to mind as I hear you talk is, you'll hear this from, like, military special operations guys use this phrase, like Rob O'Neill out of Butte, who killed Osama bin Laden, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. That sometimes by slowing down and thinking about doing and making deliberate actions is going to be a lot faster at getting the job done than just trying to rush into the situation.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you another one that I've learned from a couple SEALs that I've had the pleasure of working with in various disciplines.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. That's our teaser because we got to take a quick break. Jerry Lim, hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we're going to let Ryan Hall with the Rural Montana Magazine kind of fill us in on the details of just the significance of what Jerry Lim did that day back in July, responding to this multi-vehicle accident. So we'll get Ryan Hall in on the conversation here in just a couple of minutes as well. But back to it here with Jerry Lim, who's one of the safety award recipients that was presented at the recent annual meeting in Great Falls for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Jerry, I use this phrase, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, talking about emergency response and just, you know, what to do whenever you come. You know, whether you're out hunting and you come across an elk or a deer that you get excited about, or an emergency that sends your adrenaline skyrocketing, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. You said you've had some other phrases from some military veterans that you've integrated into some of your safety training sessions.
You bet. I'll tell you, one of the big ones, you know, getting the big picture is really important. But I've always been a really big believer after I had a couple SEALs guys tell me, you can only deal with what's within your 3-foot purview, your 3-foot window. And I think that's so important. It's really a good idea to get an overview. You know, what am I walking into? What am I getting into? But what you really can only deal with is that thing within your own hand reach, the 3-foot window. And some of that is really important because it's something as simple as calling 911 or something as simple as maybe distracting, you know, the area, making sure that people are safe or other drivers are warned. There's a lot of response that we can do. We don't have to be the doctor at the scene if we just take care of the things that we know we can handle. Keeping our head on a swivel, of course, is important. But you're right, the military offers such great wisdom. I think it's a good idea to just take that breath and know you can only do with what you can, but you can do that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and so often, how do we get so distracted or focused on things that are out of our control or worry about things that are out of our control? Focus on what you can control. Focus on, you know, what is in that immediate circle. That's a good message for everyday life there as well. All right. Well, stand by, Jerry. I'm going to sneak in a caller here. We got a caller on the phone lines. Let's see. Monty in Huntley. Monty, did you have a quick question or comment? And did I understand you're a safety instructor as well?
Yeah, well, I was. I just quit last year. But, yeah, thanks for taking my call. What I would start out with many times in safety meetings is just a phrase I had. Sometimes slower is faster.
That's a good
one. In other words, slow everything down, do it right first time, and you know, if you get in a hurry, you can either screw it up or get killed.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I did power companies.
Oh, did you? Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
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 So sometimes.
You know, sometimes slower is faster.
That's a great
slow
line.
Slow it down and yeah, do it right. Yeah. But that was my comment.
All right. All right, Monty. Well, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Yeah, Jerry, another good line there.
You bet, Ashley. I'll tell you, just to follow up on that, sometimes if you haven't got time to do it right the first time, you don't have time to goof it up. So there's so many different adages out there. But, Aaron, I think you started it at the very beginning of this. It's just rely on yourself. If you stop and see something, maybe do something. And if that's as simple as making a phone call.
Well, it too, to that idea of like, hey, if you screw it up, you're going to spend more time and more money trying to fix it again afterwards. So just slow down.
Sure.
I mean, that's why it's like, man, there's some projects around the house. It's like, okay, I think I can do that one, but I'm not even going to waste my time. I'm calling a mechanic or a plumber or somebody on that, because I'll be making more trips back and forth to the hardware store. I'll spend more time and money trying to fix it myself than then just getting an expert on the job.
You bet. No, you're exactly right.
All right, let me, there was another topic that I wanted to get to with you, Jerry, about, you know, how you really can't ever, you can never train for everything, for every scenario. In one story that was recently in the news, a river otter attack, the river otter attack in southwest Montana. Who would ever train for a river otter attack and how to respond to something like that? But yet a Montana Highway Patrol trooper stepped in and responded admirably and was recognized for such. So I kind of want to get Jerry's take on that. But first, let's go to Ryan Hall with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. He's also the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine. Ryan, thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted you to bring on, because I know Jerry wasn't going to pat himself on the back. I wanted you to maybe just kind of say some words about Jerry and his actions, and then also the other safety award recipient as well, the other one from the recognized from the Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative in the Billings area.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerry is great at what he does. He teaches everyone else, and, you know, he's the first one to step up when the situation arises. And I heard you guys talking about kind of key phrases, and he says one in our December magazine that I didn't hear this morning. I think it's important. And he said, you only have a few minutes to get it right. You have your whole life to panic. So take that deep breath and then do what you need to do. And you can, and he and I talked about it, that sometimes after you do something, you sit down and the gravity of what you just did hits you, but you've got to push that off until after you complete what you need to do to help somebody. And I thought that was a great quote from Jerry. Yeah, the other award winner from Yellowstone Valley, lineman Craig, he did an amazing thing as well. He was coming home from work, coming back to the home office in Huntley, and there was a gentleman on the bridge by Laurel that was about ready to jump and take his own life. And he pulled over in the middle of the road and set his amber lights on his vehicle to protect those who were trying to help this gentleman. And then himself, an off-duty police officer, and an off-duty EMT, were able to get close enough for the man to talk to him, grab him when he tried to go over the rail. He actually had a rope around his neck that Craig was able to cut off to save this man's life as well. So every year we have two or three award winners. Our linemen, our employees, our safety instructors like Jerry all step up every year. We've had them run into burning cars. These folks are trained to save each other. And because of the industry we're in, and that instinct doesn't shut off when it's someone that's not a one.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned the upcoming edition of the Rural Montana Magazine. Yeah, it sounds like you've got a good feature that's going to be included in the December edition of the Rural Montana Magazine. I loved your November edition with the veteran story from Dee Dee and her family's military veteran history. That was a great feature. But yeah, Jerry Lem's going to be the big feature coming up in December, huh?
Yeah, so Jerry Lem and Craig are featured on the Lifesaver Award. And then we also have a really cool feature. And for December, we try to do lighter stuff. We try to keep the issues out of it a little more. And we have a really good feature on a 95-year-old man who's made a clock over 20 years. Jerry knows the man, actually. It's Chris Tilsland's dad, Alton, that made a history clock. And it's got wooden panels carved into it from all the amazing elements in U.S. history. It's a 7-foot tall clock. We have that.
Wow.
We have a feature on Jerry and Craig. It's just a really fun, feel-good, positive magazine for December, which, you know, I think we all could use that this time of year.
That's right. Where does the clockmaker live? That's incredible.
He lives in Sydney, and he's already said that clock is going to go on display and be donated to the city of Sydney when he passes later in life. So that'll be something that people will be able to see in Sydney. It's a beautiful hand-carved clock, and we've got some great detailed pictures of it in December. I think that a lot of people are going to really like that. It's got everything from the beginning of flight through Columbus's landing to the Vikings Father Times at the very top of it. Huge three-sided carving grandfather clock with the backside against the wall not being carved.
Wow, that's incredible. I can't wait to see the photo of that in the upcoming edition as well. All right, Ryan Hall, stand by. Back to Jerry Lim. Yeah, Jerry, that you, so you know the clockmaker's family, huh?
Very well. I got to tell you, what's interesting is this gentleman, Mr. Hillsland, he's a minister. He is an amazing person to talk to. More impressive than the clock, which is outstanding. I can't tell you how beautiful it is the ability for Mr. Hillsland to put that story together as you see it. I mean, you're literally walking through time, and then you realize the amount of time that it took Mr. Hillsland to carve this. It's just, and that just is the beginning of the stuff this gentleman does. He's an outstanding individual. If you ever get to Sydney, this is a stop you have to see.
Well, and the symbolism, too. I don't know. I'll have to ask Ryan if this was intentional or not, because it's brilliant. If so, if not, a nice turn of events. But, you know, here we are talking with you about, hey, slow down, take your time. And then we had that great phone call from Huntley, from Monty there, saying, hey, sometimes slower is faster. And so the symbolism of time and taking your time with your cover story, with you and the other life-saving award recipient, now combined with this clockmaker. I love the symbolism there.
It's amazing. And, you know, what's really impressive to me is that, you know, Mr. Hillsland is one of our reviled individuals. He's just an amazing person, older gentleman that has just made a mark. And now we're coming all the way to my compadre over in Yellowstone that has made his mark. I just love this industry. I love the people of Montana, of course, but this cooperative industry and the people that form the cooperative world just have an ability to tell a story either through their actions or their words or their day-to-day life that I couldn't be happier to be involved with people like this.
Well, we've all only got so much time on this earth, and they're making the most of it. You're making the most of it. That's great. Let's see. We got less than a minute before the break. Michael in Circle, thanks for the call. Did you have something you want to share?
Morning, Aaron, Jerry. This is just former manager McConey Electric, and I say Mr. Lamb has done just a phenomenal job of helping teaching the safety to our apprentice linemen and our journey linemen. He can really relate and get the message out there, and really appreciate what he does for the electric co-ops.
Hey, that's great. There you go. That's a former co-op manager there for McConey Electric. Well, great to hear from you, Michael. Thanks for calling in. All right. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll go back to our conversation here with Ryan Hall from the Rural Montana Magazine and the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, and more with Jerry Lim. Great time for you to call in if you want to jump in on the conversation. 294-0970.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
A key Senate Democrat issued a stern warning to House Republicans to work to avoid two new shutdown threats early next year in the just-enacted stopgap funding and Farm Bill extensions. Senate Appropriations Chair Patty Murray reluctantly voted for the unprecedented House GOP stopgap with new shutdown deadlines of January 19th and February 2nd for different agencies. But she had a warning.
If we don't want to be right back here in a few weeks facing a 1-2 punch shutdown threat, we need all of us to get serious about one-year full spending bills.
Top-line numbers in those budgets, though, are on the radar of House GOP hardliners who want to cut further, and did in the USDA annual spending bill and three others before torpedoing them over internal disagreements and opposition from Democrats. The Farm Bill, meantime, will have to compete for floor time and a packed calendar of election year primaries. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley weighed in.
It would be my goal to push to get it done, and I would hope every member of the Senate and House Ag Committee would get it done. Because if it doesn't get done early in the year, it's not going to be done. Another extension has to occur if we don't get it done early next year.
That just enacted extension continues authorizations for most farm programs, though the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says livestock mandatory reporting again runs out on January 19th, which is the next shutdown deadline. I'm Lane Nordland.
Attention. Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, thankfully, Jerry called right back in. There I go. I was too fast on the buttons there as we were talking during the break, and then accidentally hung up on Jerry there. But he called right back in. He was quick to call right back in. Let's see. We got another caller on the phone lines right now. Let's start with one of your phone calls here, 406-294-0970, as we chat with Jerry Lim, a safety instructor and a Lifesaver Award recipient for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, and also Ryan Hall, who is also the editor of the Rural Montana magazine. Lynn in Kalispell on the phone lines. Lynn, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
My family's from Pennsylvania Dutch country. My kids are fifth generation Montanan, but I always remember when I'm stressed, the old Pennsylvania Dutch saying was, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. And I always say that, and it slows me down, and I look around, and I get it done. That's the hurrier I go, the behinder I get.
That is a great line, the behinder I get. I'm writing that one down, too. Thanks for sharing that, Lynn. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, another one was, kissing don't last, cook and do.
Kissing don't last, but cook and do?
Yeah.
Well, what if you want to kiss her while you cook? Can you do both?
Oh, he does, yes.
Yeah. I'll bet. Just tell him to keep his hands to himself, especially around the hot pans. I haven't been that safe in the kitchen myself, I got to admit, since we're having a conversation about safety here. Yeah. And I just got a text from my lovely wife during the break there. So, all right, Lynn, that was great. Thanks so much for calling in. Some good Dutch phrases here this morning as well. Who would have known that that's what we'd be covering here? This is great. All good stuff ahead of Thanksgiving. Jerry in Anaconda, Jerry Lim. There was a couple more phrases you can use in your safety meetings now. Oh, wait, he's on another phone line. Just a second. That's right. He used to be online. There we go. Jerry, what do you think? You got a couple more phrases for your safety meeting.
I love it. She reminds me of my grandmother. My grandmother used to have the hurrier I go, the behinder I get as a pie. That was a great reminiscence. I love the phrase. Thank you.
Real quick before I get to Bruce in Butte, I mentioned this river otter attack story, and who knew that river otters can grow to be, like, what, 5 feet long and can actually be vicious? It's like getting bit by a German shepherd. But here's a Montana Highway Patrol trooper, but really this could be anyone could come across a crazy situation. And thankfully, because of that Montana Highway Patrol trooper, this one woman in particular got really viciously attacked by this river otter, but here you are, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and so, yeah, you can get a life flight to come out and provide medical services, but that highway patrol trooper was able to guide the life flight to the correct location, because, otherwise, a few minutes could mean a life in some circumstances, in some of these situations. But to this idea that you can't train for everything, talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think that as we move into this year, coming toward the busy part of the holiday season, and it's real easy for us to lose focus, lose sight. We've got children that we take and haul around in the shopping, and we've got people that need, and we have money, and to me, Aaron, one of the biggest things in the world is not worry about what you're prepared to do, but prepare to be prepared. I mean, do you carry stuff with your vehicle so in case you slide off the road? Are you telling people where you're going and when to expect you so they can check on you? Are you making sure that you're doing the self-defense protocols, that covering your cards and making sure you're not saying your number out loud and all the things that, what a horrible world we have to prepare for, but it can be made better if we're just willing to take the time and understand the surroundings we're in. And I think that's even better than, a river otter training 101. It's more just understanding that things can happen. I mean, I have a belief that God has a sense of humor, and sometimes we get thrown into things that we're not ready for, but We're wired better than I think most people think they are. They can handle it if they take the time to think about it.
You can handle more than you think. You can do more than you realize. Yeah, good point. All right, let's see. Let's go to another caller here. We've got Bruce in Butte. Bruce, thanks for the call. What did you want to share?
Yeah, good morning, guys. As a matter of fact, if Jerry's father's name is Ott, then I think my parents knew his parents, because my parents helped start up the 4x4 search and rescue there in Anaconda way back in the day as well.
Oh, very cool. Well, we'll check with him here in a second. He's hearing you for sure.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I also teach private self-defense classes. One of the very first rule I teach people is panic is always the wrong answer. Always, always, always. Panic is the wrong answer.
Yeah.
You can train for all kinds of different things, and the more different things you train for, the better. You know, with the self-defense classes, it's not just learning how to fight your way out of a bad situation. Like you said, you know, a lot of times just having some extra food or something in your vehicle if it breaks down, if you got a blanket in there, just simple things that help keep you out of trouble in the first place. That's the biggest thing.
Good point.
The other part is train for as many different things as you can, because those of us that have served in uniform, you can vouch for this. When the yit drops in the pot, as we say, you're not necessarily going to rise to the occasion. You can't count on that, but you will usually fall to the level of your training.
Yeah, no, well said all around. Bruce, thanks for calling in. That was some great insight, and I had another one-liner that I had to write down here this morning as well. Thanks so much for your call. Jerry Lem, any relation there to the folks that Bruce was talking about?
Yeah, I come from good stock. My dad is exactly who Bruce is talking about. I was very proud and very happy. He was a military man in the United States Navy. He went on, he trained, he was part of the search and rescue NASA commander with my mother. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Bruce made a comment. I'm a self-defense instructor as well. My big thing is self-defense is just not being there. You know, make sure you're not there when we have to do something that goes upside down. Just watch it from afar kind of thing.
Yeah, sometimes the best self-defense is just staying calm and removing yourself from the situation. It could be the best thing. All right, let's see. I want to go also back to Ryan Hall. Ryan, you know, I know you wanted to sing the praises of Jerry Lem and this Lifesaver Award that he received, and also another a lineman with YVEC received as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, anyone who steps up and helps others definitely deserves recognition. But Jerry does so much for Mega. You know, the trickle-down effect. He helped someone here. He no doubt saved a life. But how many people has he taught over the years that then have done these things that aren't on the radio, that we haven't talked about, that they don't tell people? You know, the man is responsible for several life-saving. And it's not just him. We have two other great instructors, Sean Halverson and Burke. They both are amazing guys who are also teaching people. It's just amazing to me to think how many people have been saved as a down chain from our instructors over the years teaching somebody, or maybe they teach somebody. They teach a PPR or something that gets used. It's just amazing to think of the chain of people who've likely been saved by what these guys dedicate their lives to, driving all across the state trying to teach these methods.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Yeah, well said. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing the December edition of the Rural Montana Magazine with the Lifesaver Award recipients. And then I know you've been doing profiles on every member of the congressional delegation, so I think you've got some more members of the congressional delegation coming right around the corner come January or so.
Yeah, so we kind of took December off just to keep it kind of positive and light and fun. And we always put a kid's drawing on the cover for Christmas, and we want to give our congressional folks the cover, so we kind of waited till January. But in January, we have our feature with Matt Rosendale. I went hunting with him on his ranch for a morning, and that was a lot of fun, a lot of really good times, a lot of really insightful conversation that people will hear about. And then I spent Veterans Day with Ryan Zinke, which on the surface sounds a little different, because these are people behind the politics who are trying to stay away from political events. But if you spend any time with Ryan and you realize real quickly that this isn't a political thing with him, is veterans are the nearest and dearest things to his heart with his career as a Navy SEAL. And spending the day with him there and at the tailgate for the MSU Bobcat game, really got to know Congressman Zinke really well. And I think people are going to like to see this. You know, I tell people, put away your R or your D for this particular particular cities and learn what these people are. The 80% of their lives, they're not in Congress.
A little bit behind the scenes, yeah.
That's what we're really trying to do is you and I get blessed and we get to know these people as people and we get to know what it's like to sit and have a beer with them or chat with them. And a lot of people don't. So we're trying to open that window.
Trying to do that for your readers, say, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, forget the politics and learn who these guys are when they're not on Capitol.
All right. Well, Ryan Hall, Rural Montana Magazine, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks for lining us up here with Jerry Lim as well. Quick break. More to follow right after this right here with Montana Talks. And again, want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving out there as well. Dumb.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, the time is just flying by here, but it looks like Greg in Great Falls has another great, adage for us here as we've been talking about safety and response and preparation this morning. Greg, are you still there, Greg?
Yeah, I am, Aaron. Thank you. This is a saying my mom used to say, and she's long passed. It says, as you travel through life, brother, whatever be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole.
That's a great line. Focus on what is there, what's not there, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Aaron.
Oh, thank you. That was a great line.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well. All right. Well, I do want to say a big thank you to Jerry Lim for joining us. This has just been such a great time chatting with you here this hour. And just the phone calls that you've prompted here, what a great time. Jerry, thanks again for being with us. Anything else you want to leave with our listeners across Montana?
You know, Aaron, I thank you very much, and I got to tell you, it doesn't take a professional to do any of what we're talking about. It just takes a little bit of common sense and a little bit of common courtesy. I really believe that we in this state have a last bastion of who we are and who we're supposed to be. So thank you very much for taking the time, and I want to give a shout-out to my compadre in Yellowstone for his gallant effort. What a talk about not knowing what to do and what to train for him to step up. So
yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. And we look forward to reading more about his story. I know he was a little shy about joining us on the radio this morning, but we'll look forward to reading more about his story along with yours in the Rural Montana Magazine coming out for next month. Yeah, again, Jerry, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours and all our friends in Anaconda. So I got a email from our friend Jared in Anaconda as well, listening in, and we got to go do a show from Anaconda one of these days. I think Jerry might even have a good location lined up for us, so let's make that happen. He just popped into our studios. In fact, I ran into Dan Stusik last night, and I said, "Man, we should throw you on for." I said, "We got kind of a busy show tomorrow." I said, "But we should throw you on for a few minutes." Yeah, you know, there's people are already getting inundated with political ads and political commercials and things like that. So it's like, oh boy, here we go already. But that's dealing with, you know, Washington, D.C. and Senate races and things like that. Legislative races here in Montana. But I tell you, when we get through the holiday season here, the whole legislative redistricting process here in Montana and state legislative seats, the whole thing is going to be pretty different here come January following the legislative redistricting process. But Dan Stusik was on the legislative redistricting committee here with us in studio. Dan, good to see you. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Yeah, Aaron, good morning. Great to see you. As people come home and they're with their families and, you know, are concerned about our state and the future of our state, they're going to maybe want to serve, and we encourage service, and a lot of folks just aren't as in tune, as you mentioned, with the state legislative races, and a lot of times it's more the political insiders and not regular Montanans who might be listening. So, you know, as you're making these decisions and deciding how much you want to be involved, legislative redistricting just happened. The lines are different. They've changed. And filing season opens up January 11th and goes through March 11th of next year for these new legislative races. So, if that's something you're interested in, you know, I wanted to chat with you and can come back anytime to want an offer to listeners to be able to, you know, share with them some information about what their local districts look like and what the process looks like. And I get around Montana quite a bit and My email is dstusek@gmail.com. That's D-S-T-U-S-E-K @gmail.com. And, you know, I'm happy to just continue to share the information and the knowledge that I learned through this process the last few years.
That's great. Yeah, because there might be, you know, somebody might be living in a district before that they're like, well, I don't know if that's a favorable district for me. But now the way the district lines are drawn, hey, maybe you're in a district where you don't have an incumbent. Where, and so, yeah, for people who are thinking about stepping up and serving in the Montana State Legislature, yeah, reach out to Dan and look at the boundary lines where, because there may be an opportunity for you now to step up and fill one of these open seats.
Absolutely. There are plenty of open seats in various places around the state where, you know, there are no incumbents and, you know, places where if somebody wants to work hard, I mean, you know, whether you're looking for Democrats and Republicans to run in these different seats and a lot of these lines have, like I said, have changed. Places have grown. New seats are available. And if you want to work hard and knock those doors, you set the policy for what matters for Montanans. We hear about D.C. all the time, but serving in Helena is really an honor. And I know for those that currently serve there.
Well, look at what all got done in our Montana legislature. Look at what isn't getting done in Congress. And that's not a knock on any political party. It's just a fact. Washington, D.C. is broken. And, you know, stuff is getting done in the legislature. You can actually get things done. And so kind of like that caller out of Great Falls who used that line that his mom shared with him, focus on the donut, not on the donut hole. Well, we could focus on the problems in Washington, or we could focus on the donut, which is the things we actually are getting done here in Montana. And you have the ability to do that by stepping up for the legislature.
You absolutely do. And especially it's going to look different next year. No more supermajority. The legislative maps were gerrymandered here in Montana. Against Republicans, just the way the system is set up, we did our best, but it's legislature is going to look different. It's going to be closer than people are used to for the last couple cycles, and so that much more important that we get people there that want to do the work and do it well.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, great to see you. Your email again for our listeners across the state.
Yeah, dstusek. That's dstusek @gmail.com. I'm happy to come present, around the state and talk to you about what this looks like and how you can serve.
All right. Great to see you. Hey, Montana Talks, we're going to be here on Thanksgiving. We're going to be here on Friday. We got some great coverage coming up for you over the next couple of days. And then, of course, we'll be back with you on Monday as well. But hope everybody has a very happy Thanksgiving out there.